Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light. Save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light. Won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Sabree Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you.
Massive depression, treasures of fame.
nothing greater than you. Lord, there's nothing greater than you. Hallelujah. Welcome to the Turn on the Light podcast with Pastor Stephen Ann Butterfield. We are so excited you are here tonight. We thank God for another day that he spared our lives. This is the day that the Lord has made. I have been rejoicing and be glad in it. Hallelujah. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. My soul will make a boast thereof. The humble will hear about it and they will get glad. Hallelujah. And I'll tell them, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. Because truly God is good and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. We are Assistant Pastor of Light and World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockford, Georgia. We are co-founded as Archbishop Ruth L. Smith, and we are so excited for what God is doing in our midst. Hallelujah. We are teaching on Wednesday night, the purpose-driven life. Amen. We're going through that, and I'm telling you, God is blessing us, amen, to get closer and closer to him. We have service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We also have evangelistic service at 8 a.m., Sunday school at 9 a.m., and we bless God at 10 o'clock. We have full-blown worship service where God is in the midst. And on Wednesday, we have noonday Bible study and 7 p.m. Bible study where we are doing the purpose-driven life. We thank God for those of you who are part of Light of the World, and we are looking forward to Holy Convocation. Amen. Hallelujah, starting July 10th. Amen, through the whole week. So we thank God that the world is coming to Stockbridge, and we look forward to for the glory of God to be in our midst, because the latter house, hallelujah, will be greater than the former. Hallelujah. The glory shall be revealed. Hallelujah. We're looking for his glory, amen, because we want God to be glorified, because truly he deserves all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. We thank God for all those who have been graduating and who have loved ones who have graduated. Yes, yes. Amen. We thank God for our grandson. Amen. Graduated, had his graduation today, and he's heading off to get a scholarship to Gordon State. Amen. To play to do basketball. So we thank God for him. Amen. Pray for him that God will continue to keep his mind in the name of Jesus. And I thank God for, amen, those of you who have been praying for one of my parents, the kid that got killed in the car crash. Thank God for y'all praying for her and her husband. God is really blessing them and giving them the courage, amen, to go on. And we thank God for those prayers, because we know prayers of the righteous avail much. Amen. We thank God today we had a fellowship, a game, and we thank God for those guys coming out and putting out. And we thank God for those of you who have been praying for us, amen, that God will continue to sustain us in these last meal days. We have, amen, a man of God tonight, amen, who is able, equipped, and ready to give the word of God, amen, tonight. Amen. He's been with this broadcast almost since the inception. Amen. So we thank God some 12 years, amen, 11, 12 years. He's been with us and faithful. Amen. And God is faithful. He loves his people to be faithful. Amen. So tonight, without further ado, I'm going to present to some, present to us, and give to others, none other than Pastor Fair. Amen. And we want to say happy birthday to him, belated birthday. Amen. And happy anniversary. Amen. He's been having happy. Pastor Fair, you are live on air.
Well, good evening, Pastor Butterfield. How are you doing? And thank you very much for those salutations. I appreciate that. But yeah, I did just recently celebrate a birthday and celebrate an anniversary. So God has blessed me with a wonderful woman and to be my wife and companion. And just another year to serve God and to do his bidding. Hallelujah. Another day that we weren't promised, but we're going to grow in him. Tonight I want to revisit something that I preached a couple of years ago, I believe, on here. Lord's given me a different title for it and some different guidelines, different way to go. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to the 6th chapter of Matthew. We're going to revisit this. God's really put it on my heart, especially with the time that we spent in prayer for lost loved ones. We just had a 16-year-old boy, a friend of ours from my previous church. He was killed in a car accident night before last in a head-on car crash. So just keep Long, L-O-N-G is their last name. Just keep them in prayer that God would comfort them and lead them and guide them. But what we're going to look at again tonight, it's really been hard on my heart, is what we call the Lord's Prayer. These verses of the actual prayer, looking at the Matthew chapter 6, actually is 6 through 15, but I want to focus on five verses. That's chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. After this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Mm-hmm. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Some time ago, the Lord put this prayer in my heart, and the notes that I made in my columns of my Bible still ring true to me today. And as I was studying through this again, God just took me a different direction. So briefly, I want to remind you of what God put in my heart several years ago. In this prayer, there's only five verses. Five verses. Five is God's number for grace. There are a total of 66 words in this prayer. The number, I'm not big in the numerology, but I looked up because something in my spirit would just say and find out what they mean. The number 66, there's only 66 words in this prayer. The number 66 means secular or idol worship. Oh, and God's given us an example of how to pray. He knew ahead of time that we were going to have secular or idol worship in our lives in today's world. The number, and I broke it down, the number 60 means sin of pride or conceit. Oh, you can't tell me we don't see that all around us today. The number 6 means constant battle between the spirit and the flesh. You stop and you think about that, folks, the reality of that. Here God wrote this, and he inspired Matthew to put this down in paper years before we were even thought of. Five means God's grace. Number 6 means a constant battle between spirit and flesh. Number 66 or number 60 means sin of pride or conceit. Number 66 means secular idol or worship. What I want to title the message tonight to you is a pattern for prayer. Jesus indeed gives us a pattern for prayer here. Something that you can take just five verses, 66 words, and you can get totally lost in God. Well, that's the whole point that God was trying to get to me tonight. Things that we're missing. There's 12 points here. I know we won't have time to get through them all because of time constraints, but I want to give you those benefits ahead of time, and you cannot kind of fill in the blanks of what we don't get into. Number one are the benefits of quiet time. Number two is why we need quiet time, or why you need a quiet time. Number three, what is quiet time? Number four, settling in God's presence. Number five, finding a quiet place. Number six, getting alone with God. Number seven, following a quiet time pattern. Number eight, quiet time companions. Number nine, quiet time dynamics. Number 10, quiet time tools. Number 11, quiet time discipleship. And number 12, becoming a quiet person. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, your word says so much to us. as we indeed set aside this time to hear what you have to say to us, Father, open our hearts and our minds and our ears that we not only see and hear, but Father, give us the desire in our hearts to live out the words that you're putting before us. Your word, Father, your strength, your knowledge, your wisdom to help us each and every day face the things that we face in this life. And Father, that we can only turn one place to give the praise and honor and glory. That would be to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Pattern for prayer, 66 words, 5 verses, and all of these outlines that I just gave you. Benefits of a quiet time. We need quiet times because we need God. He Amen. Is the one who makes sense of life for me, for you, for everybody on the face of this earth in time of crisis or calm. J.I. Packer writes, the world becomes a strange, mad, painful place, and life in it is a disappointing and unpleasant business for those who do not know God. You know, he goes on to say, disregard the study of God, and you sentence yourself to stumble through life blindfolded, as it is, as it were, with no sense of direction and no understanding of what surrounds you. This way, you can waste your life and lose your soul. J.I. Packer made a profound statement there. In our quiet time, we need to find the knowledge of God that makes sense of life. In our quiet time, we need to have kind of like a looking glass, a sort of a mirror, if you will. Not some kind of magic mirror, just a mirror to examine ourselves, to look at ourselves more deeply and have that closer walk with God. We need to get together into the deeper dimensions of life. We're going to do that through the benefits of a quiet time, especially when we are taking that quiet time to reflect on ourselves. Through the mirror, we should be able to see the reality of God's presence. We should be able not only to look at God, but also to look at ourselves. You see, without that mirror, folks, God seems distant. And we tend to lose our Christian perspective on the world around us. We need the mirror of a quiet time to be normal Christians. We need a quiet time to show that God is really present in our lives. You know, as a Christian, we believe that he is, but our experience of spiritual reality tends to vary. Like most Americans, we've been conditioned to believe that our personal value depends on our productivity. Who has time to think about God when there's so much to do? As we look at our lives in the mirror of our quiet time, we should be able to feel God's presence as we continue to be busy but feel less driven. We also need the mirror to look into the depths of our soul. The lintel above the ancient Greek oracle in Delphi bore the words, know thyself. That's profound. Those two words, know thyself. How many times do you look in the mirror in your quiet time and say, know yourself, know thyself? A quiet time helps us to do just that. When we practice the discipline of a quiet time, we're able to look beneath our own surface. Who am I? What forces have shaped me? What needs, desires, and fears direct me? Is God really at work within me? But looking in that mirror can also be a threatening situation and uncomfortable for us. In the presence of God, the deep pains that suffered were changed, cleansed, and transformed. Job 42:5, my ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. We need to come to realize that just as our body needs regular meals to be healthy and energetic, so our relationship with God also needs regular nourishment. That's one of the benefits of a quality quiet time. When we begin to have a regular quiet time, we experience, we might not experience fireworks, but we felt good, as we did after running a couple of miles back in our younger days. When we knew that our quiet time would bring spiritual knowledge, strength, and endurance if we kept it up. What is? Why should we think about guided quiet time? Look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church who is beginning at the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. That's the second point. Why do we need a quiet time? Unless we take cautious precautions, we also can develop God blindness. Have you ever felt in your own heart, in your own spirit, in your own body, in your own soul, that you have this sort of God blindness? What's your quiet time reflecting? That's a hard question. God blindness works the same way. The rods and cones of our spiritual eyes are damaged. We have the Word of God in our vocabulary, but the experience of God is missing. Now, how can that be? And like a colorblind, like a colorblind people, we go about our lives realizing that something is wrong. When we practice quiet time, we encounter the forces of, God blindness. Quiet time focuses our spiritual sight so that we can meet with God. That in and of itself is reason to have a good quality quiet time. That in and of itself is reason to take a look, a harder look at these five verses, these 66 words, and the meanings that I shared with you. The avoidance of God in our spiritual disease, it is our spiritual disease. When we get to the point where we avoid God, we're going to cover that a little bit later. We are all in the bushes because God makes us uncomfortable. Look at Psalms 137, verse 9. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? God is not put off by resistance. He continues to seek us even when we run. You know, when I say something like that, I can hold both hands up and both feet up. I can jump up in the air and shout. Because while I was running from God, he literally, folks, literally, pulled me out of death 10 times. When I got saved August 3rd, 1989, God spoke to me and told me just as clear as a bell, there would not have been an 11th. And I've got the scars on my body to prove what I'm saying. You see, my scars reflect what a hooligan I was when I was younger. But the scars on the body of Jesus reflects how much he loves us and cares for us, how much he wants us to spend a good quality quiet time with him.
Thank you.
That's what his scars reflect and mean. Attending church and all sorts of religious activities can have the appearance of seeking God, when in fact it's another means of avoidance. Now you stop and you think about this, and we're going to cover this. Like I said, rousing worship services full of inspiring music, moving prayers, they're not enough to overcome this, what I'm talking about. Nor is being doctrinally correct a guarantee that we are okay. In fact, all of these can be dangerous because they allow us to cherish the illusion that we are spiritually growing when, in fact, we are in spiritual darkness. Isaiah wrote about outward forms of religious practice. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Isaiah 29:13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and their lips do me honor, but we have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. One of the seven deadly sins that Christians in the Middle Ages feared was sloth, laziness. Thomas Aquinas defines sloth as sorrow about spiritual good. It is a joyfulness about God, who is the source of all joy. It is despairing passiveness that gives up on seeking God. It is a cold sin that is passed beyond disobedience and rebellion. Sloth is what happens to us when we avoid God and then pretend that we're still religious. You see, the compulsive busyness of our culture is also a means of avoiding God. It's just another way to avoid a divine encounter. If we ever slowed down, the presence of God might just begin to get through. Slowing down and getting quiet then is just what we must do. A guided quiet time, resisting God. If we're to grow spiritually, we must be able to discern how we ourselves avoid God. Let's look at the principle of avoidance. Read Genesis chapter 3, 6 through 10. We all know the story, what's going on there. What is going on there is Adam and Eve, they sinned. They were avoiding God. Why? Because they were afraid. Read Psalms 53:2-3. Summarize its meaning. So we see avoidance in both Old and New Testament. Jesus confronted religious leaders who appeared to be seeking God, but in fact were not. In Mark 7, he says, Isaiah was right then when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. What is Jesus' point there? His point was you need quiet time. Even Jesus set himself apart. He kind of gave us an example. Now, this is my own ad-lib. He kind of gave us an example that if you don't set yourself apart, you're going to fall apart. But Jesus himself set himself apart. Okay, what is a quiet time? Why do we need a quiet time? What are we talking about a quiet time? A quiet time is a meeting with God. The presence of God is the birthright of every believer. This is important to fix in your mind. Otherwise, quiet time can become merely a set of routines and techniques for Bible study or prayer. As we cultivate a quiet time, we take seriously the persuasive theme of Christianity that the presence of God is our birthright. Look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The presence of God became the normal of Jesus' life. And he was not willing to live without it, the presence of God. It became the normal of his life, as it should for us. He was not living to live without it at all. The presence of God in those verses became the norm. What is our norm? Look at Exodus chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto them, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherewith shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, and I and thy people from all the people upon the face of the earth. As he led the nation, Moses set up a tent and called the, quote, tent of meeting. on the outskirts of the Israelite camp. There people could inquire of the Lord. In that tent, Moses met with God face to face. When we have quiet time, we're setting up a tent of a meeting place outside of our busy routines, outside of our busy lives, where we can be with God. Don't you think that's one awesome benefit to have a quiet time? Just knowing that you can be with God. The pursuit of God. The meeting with God has never been easier. The author of Hebrews writes that anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards them that are those that earnestly seek him. That's Hebrews 11, verse 6. Through Jeremiah the prophet, God says to Judah, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Jeremiah 29:13. We must reach out for God even as we sit to be with him. So you see, having a good quality time isn't just sitting down and saying a few words, not like the hypocrites do, as we talk, as you see in the earlier verses. In verse 6, when you pray into under your closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. I'm back in Matthew chapter 6. And your Father that sees you which is in secret shall reward you openly. One thing we should ask the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Psalms 27, verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of his temple. Another psalm says in 42, verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come? When shall I appear before God? Psalms 84, verse 2. We read, my soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. What are the benefits of a quiet time? Folks, we're seeing several of them right here. Spiritually good and spiritual good and satisfying is nature. The more a man experiences this satisfying sweetness, the more earnestly we will hunger and thirst for more. We create the time and space for God's Spirit to break through. Woo! I don't know about you, but I need a breakthrough. Give me some quiet time every day. Let me throw this at you. If we're Christian, we're faithful in paying our tithes. And in paying our tithes, there's 24 hours a day. So that means that you owe God 2.4 hours a day as your tithe on your time. Mm. So is that worth setting aside some quality, quiet time just so you're paying your tithe on your time? But you reap all of these benefits that we're looking at also. You get to sit in the presence of God. Galatians 4, verse 6, and because your son, God has set forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba means Papa, Daddy. He allows us to cry out, Abba, Father. If we get into that quiet place, if we get into that place where there's no distractions, and we cry out, Abba, Father. But you see, there's a key secret to having a good quiet time. When we learn to shut our yap long enough to listen, we realize that God is going to be trying to speak to us in this quality time. We're not just going to be sitting talking to him, telling him of all of the things that we're going through. He already knows. We're not just going to be telling him of all the things we desire. He already knows. We have to sit and be quiet. That's the whole thing, is be quiet. Take your desires before the Lord, yes, but take the time to close your mouth and listen, to hear that voice, to begin to relish in God's presence, to be able to bask in his presence, to be able to just let him overwhelm you. It's always possible to know God better than we do. Paul prays for the Ephesian church in Ephesians 1:17, that the God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We need to press on. Having a quiet time is the essential way to do that. So when you stop and you think about that, you see some of the you got to practice spiritual discipline here. Doctrinal formulas alone do not keep you healthy in a healthy relationship with God. The term spiritual discipline, it conjures up images of hooded monks chanting in the early hours of the morning. These monks have left the world in order to pursue an aesthetic lifestyle, most impractical for us, for the normal folk. In reality, spiritual disciplines are tremendously practical. They are truly essential to those who experience the daily challenge of living out their Christian lives in the marketplace. As we begin to practice spiritual disciplines in our quiet time, our spiritual senses develop. We spent time in meditation, looking to God with the eyes of our heart. Although we may not see him in a physical sense, we're perceived that his presence is there, and we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt. We knew that he was there. And as we stop doing all the talking in prayer and we begin to listen with spiritual ears, answers begin to come. Questions that we've been struggling with, all of a sudden the answers start showing up. And the more than just answers, a restful, even tender, quiet, filled me. Who knew that God loved us and that he is good? You know, the fourth point was settling into God's presence. How important is it to you to settle into the presence of God? You see, God creates time. He meets us in time and orders time. Therefore, use the time to resolve around him. That's pretty profound there. Daniel understood. If you look at Jeremiah 17, verse 22, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallowed the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. Daniel understood the essential issue there. Living in pagan Babylon, he prayed three times a day, morning, noon, and evening, and he maintained his pattern even when it got him thrown in the lion's den. By Jesus' day, the gift of a holy time had been turned into a legalistic burden. People couldn't cook or walk over a mile on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was no longer understood as a protected time in which God could be worshipped and enjoyed. Christians in the Middle Ages ordered time around worship. The day was ordered around the prayer times of prime sext and vespers. The week was organized around Sunday. The seasons were organized around the Christian festivals of Christmas, Easter, Ascension, and Pentecost. And the years were organized around the birth of Christ, B.C. and A.D. Churches kept the time because they had only the mechanical clocks. Today, we have lost the sense that time is ordered by God. Holidays are merely a vacation time. Sundays are days for sports and leisure. Christmas and Easter are times to exchange gifts. Our culture has lost any sense of making time to be with God. I think that's so very sad. It reflects on the things that we're seeing on the news. The recent shooting in Texas. Here, the other day, there was a cartoon showing the parents screaming at the TV, "The guns are causing all the problem." And it showed their child, their small child, right behind them, yet on another TV, playing a video game, shouting, "Kill them, kill them, kill them all." And yet we blame the problem on television. We blame it on the guns. We don't think about how Congress has taken God out of our schools. Where is the quiet time that these schools used to have. They used to have prayer around the flagpole. Some people still do. But for the biggest part, that's gone by the wayside. We have to learn to seize the time, especially with our busy schedules. We have to learn to set that time forth. How can we establish time patterns that will allow us to meet with God? We must choose to set aside holy time. The time focused on God is not just an interpretation in our day. It's not just an interruption in our day, but it's a reminder that all of our time is under His Lordship. All of our time is ordered by the Lord. So you see, setting forth a good quality time, you have a lot of benefits, a lot more than we're going to be able to describe just here tonight in an hour. Making room for regularly scheduled time is almost an act of violence initially, when you stop and you think about it. I must seize the time and set it aside. We have to set that time aside. Something else will have to give: an hour of sleep, time with friends, a TV program. If this seems like too much of a sacrifice, consider that you find time to eat several times a day. Shouldn't we be able to find time to feed our souls several times a day, or minimum one quiet time a day, a good, solid, quiet time where we're basking in the presence of God? We must seek to have regular holy times. They need to be anchored into the routine of our lives. The prophet Daniel used meal times of morning, noon, and evening. That may not be realistic for us, but we need to find something that is. Many people prefer early morning. Mark records that at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, before sunrise, Jesus got up to pray. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. You see, if Jesus can take the time to set himself apart, he is our example. How much more should we set time to set ourselves apart? The schedule that we have are far busier than what was back then. There's so many more interruptions nowadays. Perhaps lunchtime works better for you, or your schedule. Or maybe you can designate time in the evenings to spend with the Lord. You know, and that sounds kind of harsh that we have to schedule time to spend with the Lord. But that's the environment that we're in today. That's the hustle and bustle of the life that we lead today. And sometimes when COVID hit, you had all of the people that weren't going to church. And when they forget about going to church, soon they forget about church. Only the same applies to us when we forget about praying, we forget about prayer. We forget about the importance of. We forget to pay our tithes on our time, which is 2.4 hours every day. We need not only regular times, we need extended holy times with God that allow for a sense of leisure. In Israel, a whole day, the Sabbath day, was given over to rest and worship, as well as the entire weeks of their festivals, Unleavened Bread and Pentecost. Devotional time for most people vary from 15 to 40 minutes nowadays. Some are lucky to even get that. So to me, I have a hard time putting my hands on that. How do you have time in 15 to 40 minutes to really sit and bask in God's glory, to really feel the presence of God, to finish paying your tithes? Lord, you're going to keep taking me there. Our tithe on our day is 2.4 hours that we owe you. We just need to pray, God, settle my schedule down that I can give those to you and be faithful in paying that tithe. So you see, setting a quiet time is a whole lot more. It's sitting in the presence of God. it's showing, look at Psalms 31. We'll just take a real quick look at this. This is a song of degrees from David. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. So when we take time, we are going to begin to see God more and more and more in our lives. You know, we sing a song, More of You. God, I want more of you. That should be so true in our lives that we should be so hungry and so thirsty and so unsettled that if we didn't get that quiet time, that we didn't get that quality time, we're missing something. We feel like a part of us has been stripped away. How do we approach this? You have to give over your concerns to the Lord. Sometimes we have to picture ourselves as writing a list and pressing issues and a list of to-do and then handing it to the Lord. Lord, how are you going to open up our time? How are you going to open up our schedule for this? How are you going to open up the things that we need to do? Looking a little bit at the fifth thing that I gave you, finding a quiet place. For some of us, especially if you have families, that's extremely hard to do. They're in the quiet place in your house when you've got small children. If you go into a room and you try to close the door, you've got the little ones coming in the door. Daddy, can we? Daddy, why are you in here? And we know it's hard to do. Sometimes you want to speak with your spouse, which I do. My wife and I speak very much. We enjoy that time. And if I'm studying, I put my stuff down. I openly admit that because her coming to me and approaching me is important to me. And we take on those responsibilities. But see, we've got to find a place, a time that we can set aside that's quiet time. We're going to look later on. It talks about companions in quiet times. Have your wife participate in your quiet time. Woo! You want to see God not only move in your life, but in your life together with her as a couple. So don't shut her out of your quiet time. Let her be a valid part of it. Let her be the reason for it, because she's a gift from the Lord, or he is a gift from the Lord. We've got to find meeting places in scriptures. Some Christians in other times built cathedrals, not merely for religious extravagance, but because they understood the importance of creating a well-defined, protected place in which to meet with God. In today's world, how important is that? I mean, we've got places today that if you profess to be a Christian, they cut your head off, they shoot you, they kill you. There are many people that are still in many ways being a martyr because they are teaching and preaching the gospel. They are openly praying for people regardless of the dangers that they face. But we need these structures that I'm talking about in the lives to provide a safe place, a protected place in which we can meet with God. But our busyness in pursuit of money, recreation, and education tends to displace any space for quietness before God. When you are looking for a quiet place, you will know it. It talks about going into your prayer closet in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, which we went back to. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. You've got a closet somewhere. It doesn't have to be a physical closet. You can go lay down on your bed. Let that be your closet. But let it be your prayer sanctuary. Let it be the place where you intentionally go to find quiet time with God, time to indulge, time to endure, time to relish in the presence of God. So you see, going back to our original text in Matthew, these five verses, these 66 words, mean a lot to us. Not only does this show us how we can get lost in prayer, not only does this give us a pattern for prayer, but the guidelines that I mentioned to you earlier, and we're not going to have the time to go on, I want to stop there. I want to go over those guidelines again. If you want to write them down, please do. And study on yourself. Find your quiet place. Look in that mirror that I'm talking about to say, please, God, show me me. Help me to be so wrapped up in a quiet time. Again, these 12 benefits that I shared with you, the benefits of a quiet time. We covered we just barely scratched the surface of some of the benefits. Why do you need a quiet time? You can answer that for yourself far better than I can. I went on blanket statements of the world around me. You can answer that, and you can answer these questions far better than I can on for your own self. What is a quiet time? Sit down. I challenge you. Sit down with pen and paper. Write this down. What is a quiet time? What does it mean to me? What am I seeking to gain out of a quiet time? What am I wanting to accomplish in my quiet time? The number one top priority we've already covered is the presence of God. But answer the question yourself. What is a quiet time? Why do I need a quiet time? What are my benefits going to be? You can ask yourself all of these questions. The fourth one was settling in God's presence. If you haven't settled, and I mean settled in the presence of God to where you can't say anything, you can't do anything, you got tears streaming down your face, you've got your hands up in the air, and not a thing you can do, but you're relishing in the presence of God. You've settled in to the presence of God. That's that fourth point. Fifth point is finding a quiet place. That, again, is something that you have to work out for yourself. Once I close my door, when we walk into our house, that's our quiet time. Of course, our children are gone and grown, and that makes it easier. They do call and text occasionally, but this is our sanctuary. This is our quiet time where we are here. Find your own quiet place. The sixth one was getting alone with God. You go back to the very first one, the benefits of quiet time. You get alone with God. You can sit down and write that thing down and see how many benefits you can list of getting alone with God. For you personally, don't think about the world around you. Think of you personally. How much are you going to get out of getting alone with God? So number seven was following a quiet time pattern. Once you find that place, once you find how you're going to give that time back for your tithes, that 2.4 hours, make it a routine. Make it a pattern in your life. That way, when that is interrupted, you're missing it. That way, when it's interrupted, you feel like you're being depraved because you get to count on that quiet time a lot. Yep. You get to count on that quiet time because it means you get to meet God. You get to settle down with God. Now, the eighth one was quiet time companions. First and foremost, it should be your spouse. Then it should be your children, your grandchildren. Show them the importance of quiet time in your life. Show them the importance of them in your life as companions in your quiet time. The ninth one was quiet time dynamics. There again, only you can define some of these for yourself. I can't define them for you. I can give you some ideas and concepts that God has put in my mind, but they may not work for you. But you have to figure out what the dynamics are, what is going to best suit you. The tenth one was quiet time tools. Do you need to settle down with you and a Bible? Do you need to settle down with you and a Holman Biblical Dictionary? Do you need to settle down with both of those and a concordance? That is something that I can't answer for you. You need you and God. Anything from that is going to be a benefit because he's going to tell you exactly what you need. There we need to take the quiet time tools. We have to learn to close our mouths and listen. That includes the next one, quiet time discipleship. You see, it takes us discipleship to sit down and close our yap and to listen to what God is saying. all of the ones above, if you settle in and you take that discipline and you apply it to your life, you're going to begin to hear from God like you've never heard from him before. You're going to begin to feel God's presence like you've never felt it before. You're going to realize what you've been missing all of these years that you've been not been able to find that quiet time. The 12th, the final one, was becoming a quiet person. I'm very much a people person. I'm very much an extrovert. So for me, this was a hard one, becoming a quiet person. Me? Who, me? And I have to sit down before the Lord, and I have to say, God, I want to shut everything out. God, I want to still my mind. I want to still my heart. I want to still my thoughts. I want everything I am, everything I'm going to be, everything that I have been to be focused on you. So that's a challenge. That's a job for me because of who I am, of who God has made me. But through all of this, too, he's showing me how to become a quiet person, to listen to him, to want to spend that time, to relish that time. So I hope you have gotten something out of this tonight. Even though we revisited Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer, God just gave me some different dynamics. There you go, about it. And he told me to share those with you tonight. Pastor Butterfield?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. That was so awesome and so detailed. We appreciate that. It was so awesome. Pattern for prayer. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord and finding that quiet time. And I'm going to be working on this, Pastor Fair. I'm going to be working on this. I know that all of us that are online and listening, I know that we all can use this information and put it to work. So we just give God glory and give him praise, and we thank you for sharing this word with us on today. And it is very important that we have that quiet time to ourselves, but at times we got to bring the spouse and the children in and to the prayer so they can know what's going on in the house as well. So we just praise God, and we thank you and your wife for sharing this word with us on tonight. And we just give God all the glory and all the praise for doing that. It is so important that we continue to pray with all the different things that are going on in the world. And you was talking about that we don't take the time for God. And it is very important that we take the time for God, so that when if Pastor Butterfield wasn't here this evening and he was gone somewhere, I would be missing him, and I would be wanting him to come on home. And so we got to have that love and that compassion for God, that when we haven't spent the time with God the way that we should have, then we should be feeling some kind of way. And so I just praise God that you brought this word tonight. And we just pray that those of you out there in radio land tonight, that you have heard this word and that you would take this word and that you would begin to work this word in your life. This is a word tonight, just a message, not just a message. It was a word for us on tonight. So we thank you again, Pastor Fair, for bringing this word on tonight. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so
Amen.
Much, man. I tell you, I had a couple months ago did a schedule on the hours that I have allotted for the week, and it's 168 hours in a week. And I have a breakdown of all the things that I should be doing in that week, all the hours that I should be spending. And I tell you, I have fallen short, on keeping those things. So it's good to have a plan where you can focus on something and have something to go by. Even if you miss it, you know you missed the mark. But this is awesome that we can know that we have to cut our time and spend time with God, because if we do that, then everything else will fall in line. We'll get direction. We'll get what to do, how to do it, and he'll redeem the time. And so we thank God for this word tonight, and I pray that all of you that heard this tonight, that you would apply it. Don't just let us be hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. Let us do this, because we're going to benefit. We're going to reap the benefit. You spend time with God, I declare, your life is going to be different. So we thank God for this word tonight. Yeah. Pastor Fair, awesome word as
thank
usual.
You so
amen.
Much.
You are always on time, always,
always.
Right. Amen. And we thank God for you and your beautiful wife. Again, happy anniversary, happy birthday, and
yeah.
We pray that God continue to bless you guys.
Right.
And we want you to go ahead and pray us out tonight before we go.
Amen.
Jesus, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the provision that you give to us each and every day. Father, we thank you that you put are in our hearts to seek that, to seek your face, to seek the presence that you offer to us. Father, this is something that you've given to us as a birthright. So, Father, instill it in our hearts that we make this time available to you, that we absorb the benefits of a quiet time with you. Father, that we can take more than 5 verses and 66 words and apply them to our lives. Father, but to learn to use those 5 verses, those 66 words, to help us in our pathway to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. We thank each and every one of you for tuning in to the Turn on the Light broadcast on tonight. And I just wanted to mention before we go that Quiet Time tool. Get you your regular Bible and then get you that Message Bible and also get you the Outline Bible so you can pull some things together and get you some other materials to work with in order to see what it is that God is really saying to you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Awesome. So tell your neighbors, tell your friends, every Saturday night at 8 p.m. to dial 917-388-4161. To the Turn of the Light broadcast, with Pastor Stephen and
Pastor Phil. How blessed.